one who wants to observe justice, where he is at the place where he's ruling over the people, or he's a governor or the minister of a state, how he should. And there we see that Imam Ali has said, وَخْفِزْ لِلْرَعِيَّةِ جَنَاحَكَ, that whenever you're in front of people, you must be humble. You must be someone whose eyes are basically dropped down. And even when he lifts his eyes up, he do it with the fairness that he does not look at one person and maybe he's ignoring the other. So he does not ignore the others. So he looks at everyone equally so that no one thinks that maybe he has ignored that person, or maybe the other person is more favorable, or maybe he's more closer than him. Therefore, this is the first sign which Imam Ali has said, that if a person is at a state of governorship and he wants to observe the justice, he must look at everyone fairly so that no one thinks badly. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We'll be talking about the topic of justice and the signs of justice. Therefore, the first sign which we said is that whenever a person looks at others, he looks fairly so that no one feels bad. The second thing is whenever he says salam to the people, to a group, he meets everyone in the same way. In the same way, so that no one feels bad or maybe having a bad feeling about the person. And whenever he meets those people who have influence in the society, maybe there are investors, maybe there are politicians, maybe there are other people who have influence on the people, or maybe they are at this position, when he sees them, he sees them in an equal way, so that the others who do not have any status or position, they don't feel bad about it. They don't feel that he's going to give a favor to these people only, and this person's going to ignore us, because the one who does not have any reference, maybe there is a person who is in need, he wants a help, but he does not know anyone. He does not have any reference. He does not know any person, or maybe he does not have money. So when you see them, you meet them in a good way so that they feel secure when they're seeing you. So they feel that you have warmly welcomed them when they're coming to you. You're listening to them with the attention. And this is what we need to look for, because when we are socializing with the people, and especially when we are at a place, for example, someone is a manager or maybe he's a supervisor or responsible for something. Therefore, whenever he's meeting others, he should meet them in a way that no one feels bad. No one feels that he's giving a specific favor to someone else. And everyone should feel that he is equally dealing with everyone. And this is what Islam is emphasizing on, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Hello.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Oil and gas, two commodities that have been at the center of news for months now, mainly due to the conflict in Ukraine. One of the criticisms leveled against these oil and gas giants are the record profits that they are raking in.
It is immoral for oil and gas companies to be making record profits from this energy crisis on the back of the poorest people and communities and at a massive cost to the climate.
Bombshell report, however, is putting the spotlight more on these oil companies, but for the wrong reasons. Like this headline, criticism intensifies after big oil admits gaslighting public over green aims, which goes on to say, fury as explosive files reveal largest oil companies contradicted public statements and wished bedbugs upon critical activists, like this one.
And here today, we're going to be out demanding that the City of London, which is responsible or oversees about 15% of fossil fuel funding, could actually very, very rapidly, you know, get this source of finance switched off and move towards a green economy.
Here are the opening statements of the Oversight Committee.
Today we are holding our third hearing in the committee's investigation into the fossil fuel industry's decades-long climate disinformation and greenwashing campaigns.
Big oil, namely ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, and BP, are at the center of controversy again and yet again, lying about keeping in line with climate change restrictions.
But these executives refused to commit to real changes.
What kind of lies? Here's one example.
But it is more than having to change. We want to change. We want to change because it's the right thing for the world, and it's a tremendous business opportunity for BP.
It was not too long ago when these headlines and pictures were plastered on the front pages of newspapers around the world. Climate change alarm, code red for humanity. Yet these alarm bells fail to stop these big oil companies from advancing their agenda, making money at the expense of people for their shareholders. While these companies are making record profits, it is worth noting the economic costs of climate change. The global cost of adapting to the climate impacts is expected to grow $140 to $300 billion per year by the year 2030 and $280 to $500 billion per year by the year 2050. To get the full impact of what these energy conglomerates are doing, the bare facts need to be known. According to a report published by the Carbon Majors Database in 2017, just 100 of them have been the source of more than 70% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions since the year 1988. If fossil fuels continue to be extracted at the same rate over the next 28 years as they were between 1988 and 2017, global temperatures would rise by 4 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. What is shocking is that these large corporations, like Exxon, knew about climate change almost 50 years ago. In 2015, it was revealed that Exxon understood the science before it became a public issue. It was called the Climate Deception Dossiers.
The reality of global warming began making front-page headlines nearly 30 years ago. That's when the world's largest fossil fuel companies launched a three-decade campaign to deceive the public and delay action on climate change.
The worst part about these findings was that ExxonMobil spent millions of dollars to promote misinformation about the issue. The goal? To sow doubt about climate change. Let that sink in. Because these dossiers revealed that the coalition of fossil fuel companies had launched a big communications effort to sow doubt. Their motto, victory will be achieved when the average person is uncertain about climate science. Then in 2019, it was reported that major global firms were accused of concealing their environmental impact. This included more than 700 companies like Facebook, Amazon, Tesco, and here we go again, ExxonMobil. They were accused of lacking transparency over things like water shortages and deforestation. How these non-oil and gas companies do this is that they do what's called greenwashing, conveying a false impression that one's products are environmentally friendly or sound, when in essence they are not. And here are some of the companies that are guilty of this. Famous brands known the world over, claiming that they have gone green, but in essence they have not. Whether it was the Paris Climate Accord or COP26.
And we arrive at what I believe is the moment of truth.
Or John Kerry.
It is time to come together for future generations in ways that none of us really ever thought we might have an opportunity to do.
All of that appears to be on the shelf for now. With a lack of energy resources, European countries and the U.S. are scrambling to fill the shortages, even if it includes resorting to big CO2 emitters like fossil fuels. On the surface, this is legislation that the U.S. is passing through Congress to, in short, stop African countries from associating with Russia, especially when it comes to business activities. But looking deeper, this is what many call the U.S. bullying other countries into submission. That is how the South African president is viewing this, urging the U.S. to not punish African nations by pressuring them to cut ties with Moscow. Cyril Ramaphosa realizes the dangers behind this legislation. He said that this measure will harm Africa and marginalize the continent. We should not be told by anyone who we can associate with. When it comes to Russia, many African countries feel the same. For example, when a UN voting took place for sanctions to be imposed on Russia, 17 African countries abstained from the UN vote. The US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, had to come out and defend US interests in Africa, stating that US intentions are not to dictate what African nations should do.
Too often, African nations have been treated as instruments of other nations' progress rather than the authors of their own. Time and again, they have been told to pick a side in great power contests that feel far removed from daily struggles of their people. The United States will not dictate Africa's choices. Neither should anyone else.
The source of this aggressive U.S. legislation dates back years ago. During the tenure of the former U.S. President Donald Trump, the U.S. unveiled a new Africa policy to counter what it called predatory Russia and China. This was unveiled by the former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, who said that the U.S. was losing ground to China and Russia.
The predatory practices pursued by China and Russia stunt economic growth in Africa, threaten the financial independence of African nations, inhibit opportunities for U.S. investment, interfere with U.S. military operations, and pose a significant threat to U.S. national security interests.
Yet Bolton was not forthright in the U.S. policy on Africa. He failed to mention that the U.S. had limited resources to compete with the tens of billions of dollars that China was pouring into Africa. And on the predatory practices of China and Russia that set up debt traps, that just didn't hold ground. Take this piece of news, the fact that China canceled 23 loans to African countries. This silenced the critics that accused Beijing of practicing debt trap diplomacy, that it deliberately lent money to countries that it knows cannot repay the money, with the goal of increasing its political leverage. Meanwhile, the U.S. has fallen out of favor with many African countries. One survey found that 76% of young Africans named China as the foreign power with a positive influence on their lives. when it comes to Russia, the U.S. has accused it of selling arms in exchange for votes at the U.N. Those votes, he added, helped keep strongmen in power, undermined peace and security, and ran counter to the best interests of the African people. Well, if that is the case, then what about the U.S. keeping strongmen in power in monarchies in the Persian Gulf, regimes like Saudi Arabia or Bahrain? South Africa's foreign minister, Naledi Pandor, holds the same view as the South African president when it comes to Russia. She referenced the Soviet Union's championing of anti-apartheid forces, compared with Western cooperation with South Africa's former white supremacist regime. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, had to come out and defend U.S. interests in Africa, stating that U.S. intentions are not to dictate what African nations should do.
What we seek most of all is a true partnership between the United States and Africa. We don't want an imbalanced or transactional relationship. And our commitment to a stronger partnership with Africa is not about trying to outdo anyone else.
Successive U.S. administrations have tried to penetrate the African political and economic landscape, but it looks like their efforts have not succeeded, lagging one step behind other powers like China and Russia. The Ukraine conflict is clear proof of that. This is one of the occasions that many nations have been reluctant to embrace the West in its campaign to pressure Moscow. But that is not the only time that a considerable portion of an entire continent does not give importance to U.S. pressure. Recently, snubs from key leaders at the Summit of the Americas revealed U.S. President Joe Biden's struggle to assert U.S. leadership in his neighborhood. The issue of U.S. leadership being questioned begs the question, where else is the U.S. leadership under doubt? From Latin America to Africa to West Asia, all the way to Asia and China in particular, the U.S. is losing support from countries around the world. That is why the phrase "the U.S. losing its superpower status" continues to reverberate in many countries. But perhaps one of the tools that the U.S. uses, which has had a strong backlash, making it fall out of favor with many countries, is the use of sanctions and the use of the dollar as a weapon. Many countries view this as a form of bullying for countries to follow U.S. foreign policy, which is probably why the South African president has said, we should not be told by anyone who we can associate with. It was a massacre that was unprecedented, and it highlighted how private U.S. military contractors felt that they were above the law. 15 years ago, these military contractors shot and killed 17 Iraqis, including 2 children. The massacre, which became known as the Nisour Square Massacre, highlighted what can go wrong when private military contractors are used, especially when it comes to accountability.
We strive for perfection. We try to drive towards the highest standards, but the fog of war and accidents and the bad guys just have to get lucky once.
The U.S. used private military contractors heavily in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Now the new theater of war is Ukraine. Here is an ad for hiring these contractors. Wanted, multilingual former soldiers willing to covertly head into Ukraine for the handsome sum of up to $2,000 per day. Yes, demand is soaring, and there are plenty of people who are signing up. But what are they called? Contractors? Volunteers? Mercenaries? Or paid security workers? Obviously, some are former soldiers with the ability to fight and kill. This leaves plenty of room for mistakes, meaning civilian casualties. Remember when Ukraine's president made this announcement? Zelensky reveals number of foreign volunteers for Ukraine, the first of some 16,000 fighters to have already arrived, the Ukrainian president said. He further added, Ukraine continues to receive weaponry on a daily basis from our partners, from real friends. The weapons are more and more powerful every day. The very same weapons that are given to these volunteers. So far, the number of so-called volunteers to have joined the Ukrainian armed forces could be as high as 20,000, a figure that could even exceed that. The demographics of these fighters are varied. In all, fighters from Eastern Europe and former Soviet republics constitute the majority of fighters. In terms of Western countries, the greatest number of foreign fighters include the U.S., U.K., Canada, Germany, France, and even some that are coming from Japan. When it comes to the U.S. private military contractors, the one that stands out is Academy, formerly known as Blackwater. Reports have pointed to its involvement in Ukraine. First, reports emerged in July 2021 that Blackwater founder Eric Prince had plans to create a $10 billion private army in Ukraine. His plans included a private army staffed by former Ukrainian combat veterans. However, what is not widely reported was that Academy was involved in Ukraine already since the year 2014. Hundreds of these mercenaries were operating in the country's east and south, but the U.S. has denied these claims. But other Western countries are open in their admission of foreign fighters fighting in Ukraine. Take Germany, for example. Germany's Foreign Office tweet is very telling here. Reports on death sentences against foreign nationals serving in Ukraine's armed forces are shocking. As combatants, they are prisoners of war, entitled to special protections under the Geneva Convention. The UK's involvement has been heavy when it comes to foreign fighters. In June, it was reported how the UK has training centers set up for Ukrainian recruits to train soldiers sent by Kiev, including women, for urban combat. The target for the number of people that the UK can train, 10,000 soldiers every 3 months. Whether they are private military contractors, volunteers, or whatever name they are called, they're fueling the flames of war. It should be mentioned that Russia is also complicit in its use of contractors or mercenaries as well, as it has been reported. The extent and the number, however, is not known. Let's not forget, it wasn't too long ago that the armed groups in Syria were getting help from America, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. And a source of training for the armed gangs was the notorious U.S. private security firm formerly known as Blackwater. Security circles have long reported that it was sending mercenaries from Iraq into Syria, something which the U.S. stands accused of until this day. Ukraine is becoming eerily similar to Syria, thanks to the U.S. and its European partners, who are keen to make sure that this war continues, from the massive military aid to manpower in the form of these contractors. Pumping Ukraine with weapons has become the main trend for the U.S., leading the Europeans down the same path. So high the volume of these weapons that Ukrainian illegal arms trafficking has become a terrorist threat at an international level. This is just another outcome of the wrong and deadly U.S. foreign policy, in which many Iraqis witnessed 15 years ago, as was the case in the Nusayr Square massacre. The conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia after a truce has blown up again. About 100 soldiers have died in total. This is the worst fighting between the two since their 2020 war. According to Azerbaijan's president, Ilham Aliyev, provocations committed by Armenian forces at the border have been averted and all necessary objectives were fulfilled. It blamed Armenia for the flare-up. It is widely reported that this conflict is due to the dispute over Nagorno-Karabakh region, in which two wars have been fought between the former Soviet republics of Armenia and Azerbaijan. A quick history check reveals how ethnic Armenian separatists in Nagorno-Karabakh first broke away from Azerbaijan when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. The war that broke out afterwards claimed the lives of around 30,000 people. Back in 2020, when another war broke out, which lasted 6 weeks, 6,500 lives were lost. The fighting ended with a Russian-brokered ceasefire. Moscow deployed thousands of peacekeepers in the region to successfully mediate to prevent the war from continuing. The question is, what is behind the most recent flare-up? Azerbaijan needs access to bodies of water in order to provide energy resources to the West, which, given its relationship with Iran, Israel, and Western entities, would prevent that from happening. Azerbaijan's last 2 years of military action against Armenia is to cut and separate the land route between Iran and Armenia and the direct access to Nakhchivan from the southern area of Siunak or Zangezur Corridor, a concept for a transport corridor which, if implemented, would give Azerbaijan unimpeded access to Nakhchivan. Meanwhile, Israel, the U.S., Russia, and Turkey do have a hand, either directly or indirectly, in this conflict, all for their own political objectives. Israel is a supporter of Azerbaijan, and as such has strengthened its relationship, especially when it comes to military equipment like drones. This to have a front against Iran. Meanwhile, Iran has always had a diplomatic approach to the conflict. During the past war, it was very telling what Iran said. The renewed fighting between its neighbors, Azerbaijan and Armenia, could escalate into a wider regional war. And this is where the U.S. may have motives behind seeing a renewed conflict. One intention may be to draw Russia into this war in order to weaken its capabilities in the Ukraine conflict. And the U.S. certainly does not mind if Iran's borders are destabilized, leaving that task to its watchdog in the region, namely Israel. The U.S., however, is presenting another side to this provocation. The U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has said that Russia may have a hand in this conflict, stirring the pot in order to distract from Russia's most recent losses in Ukraine, according to the U.S. point of view.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all and respected brothers and sisters. In this session, inshallah, again, we're going to work on some of the verses of the Quran Kareem from Surah Al-Baqarah. So, Ali Nasir and Fawad Haider, if you're ready, let's recite a salawat and start our class.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay, today I will work on verse number 6 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Inna alladhina kafaru, and up to verse number 10, Fi qulubihim maradun. Okay, inshallah, let's listen to these verses of the Quran Kareem.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina kafaru sawa'un 'alayhim a anzartahum am lam tunzirhum la yu'minun. Qatamallahu 'ala qulubihim wa 'ala sam'ihim wa 'ala ولهم عذاب عظيم. ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين. يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم
Okay, great. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. Then also in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, describing them that يخادعون الله, they think like they are kind of deceiving Allah Almighty. Okay, by kind of saying to the people that we believe we're Muslims, okay? But when they go back home, whatever they want to do, they do. Like an unbeliever, okay? So يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا, and also they think that like they are deceiving the people who believe. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah Almighty says, no, you're not deceiving me. You're not deceiving the people who believe. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself like you've been deprived of success. You've been deprived of Jannah. You've been deprived from like going to the right path. This is a great loss for you, okay? But you don't know. Allah Almighty says, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't know this. Yeah? They have lost the greatest thing in their life, and that is guidance. Yeah? Blessing of Allah Almighty. So, we should be very careful, inshallah, to at least if our beliefs are kind of in a low level, okay, we have to improve this. Yeah? Inshallah, these levels of explanations that we have interpretations, okay, this is like for adults and for youngsters, okay? So inshallah, our friends who are looking for better explanations and more explanations, okay, they can refer to the interpretations of the scholars, okay, who have interpreted the Quran Kareem. For example, Tafsir An-Namuna, okay, Tafsir Al-Mizan, Tafsir, any other Tafasir, okay, books, okay, they can refer, inshallah. So, okay, Fawad and Ali Nasir, that was a short explanation, okay, about this ayah, inshallah, now. So, the first important point on Tajweed rules is يُخَادِعُونَ, the letter خَ. It has an alif, yes? Alif mad. It's pronounced the same as the name of this letter. خَ. Alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha. خَ. Okay, heavy letter. There is an alif, you gotta stretch it for two counts. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. Okay, and the word Allah Almighty, okay? The word Allah, because we have a fatha before. It has to be pronounced heavily, yes? Allah, the lam has to be pronounced heavily. Fawad, recite these two words. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ.
يخادعون الله
ما شاء الله يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا همزة الواصل الذين must be skipped والذين آمنوا آمنوا همزة يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا. When you stop here, I actually you don't have to stop here, but because maybe sometimes you go out of breath, okay, you run out of breath, so you can stop here and then continue from وَمَا يَخْضَعُونَ or start again the ayah, okay? Take a deep breath and start again because we don't have any stopping sign here, yes? So you can recite the whole ayah or you can stop at آمَنُ. It's better to stop at آمَنُ because there is that's one sentence. وَمَا يَخْضَعُونَ is another sentence, okay? But they are related. Two sentences we have. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا they are like this. They are seeking to deceive Allah Almighty and the people who believe, the believers. Then the next ayah says وَمَا يَخْضَعُونَ the next part وَمَا يَخْضَعُونَ they do not deceive, okay? إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ they do not deceive anyone except themselves, okay? وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ and they do not know and they are not aware of this. You can make a pause here. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So one of the important points to remember about how to make a pause, okay? If, for example, you don't have any stopping sign, okay? And also about how to start again after you stopped once. Is this that to understand, to look at the meaning, okay? The meaning. And usually the words like wa, fa, okay? Wa, fa, these letters, okay? If you see, you can stop there and you can start from there. For example, look, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Then the next part, if you know the meaning, okay, if you take a look at the meaning, another sentence starts. So you can stop here and you can start from here. But it's better to connect them because we don't have any sign of stopping, okay? But like, if you stopped, you can start. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ
Can we start at يَخْدَعُونَ and end at يَخْدَعُونَ وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ
No. Because if you say وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ it means they do not deceive. While the meaning of the ayah is not that one, they do not deceive. The meaning of the ayah is this, that they do not deceive anyone except this is the meaning of ayah, the complete meaning. Okay? If you stop here, it becomes kind of confusing. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ They do not deceive Allah Almighty. So if yes. they do not deceive Allah Almighty and the believers, who do they deceive? Okay?
Yes.
So it's better to look at the meaning. So, important point about how to make stop, how to start. One of the points is to know the meaning or to take a look at the meaning. Or at least those who are like familiar with Arabic rules, literature, okay? They can do this easily. Understand, okay?
Yes.
Because they understand that the next word, what type of word is it? Is it a noun? Is it a verb? Or is it a letter, okay? Harf. So they can easily understand and they can easily start and stop. But the best way is to follow the signs of stopping. Okay? So, let's recite this ayah once again without making any pause. Then we'll continue to the next points in this ayah. Ready for what? Yes?
Yes.
يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ
يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أنفسهم وما يشعرون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله So يخادعون الله عين Make sure it's pronounced correctly والذين آمنوا And also وما يخدعون إلا There is okay إلا The word إلا Has an alif mad. Yes? And after alif mad, the next word starts with hamza. Hamzatul qata'a. Remember that if we are saying hamza, it's kind of in mad rules, okay? If we are talking about hamza, it's not hamzatul wasl. It's hamzatul qata'a. Okay? Because if it is hamzatul wasl, so you can skip it. Because you join the words. But if it is hamzatul qata', and the previous letter or the word ends in harful mat, here the rule mat is applied. Okay, so illa. Now we have alif mat, illa alif mat. We have after alif mat, the next word starts with hamzatul qata'. What type of mat is it?
Jaiz munfasil.
Jaiz munfasil, easily. Why? Munfasil means they are separated. They are not in the same word. Jaiz, it's because they are not connected. They are not in the same word. It's jaiz to make prolong it. You can either say, illa anfusahum. No stretching. Only two counts, okay? The natural math. Illa anfusahum. Or you can stretch it to four counts, five, six counts. Illa anfusahum. This way. All right, forward? Okay. Anfusahum nun sakin plus fa.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Why fa is from the rest of the letters, not from throat letters that ilhar must be applied, not from hermanu letters that ikhfa idgham must be applied, not from ba that iqlab has to be applied. Yeah? So it's from the rest of the letters. Fawad, recite this ayah. Yukhadi'oon Allah wal-ladhina. That's all about the important points here, okay? There is no new points. Recite it.
يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخادعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون.
No, وما يخدعون. It's different from the first word.
Copyright.
They have kind of the same meaning, but they are different forms of the words. Okay.
They have the same meaning.
Huh?
They have the same meaning.
In Arabic, no, a little, but they have the same mean, we say, the same mean, but not the same meaning.
Synonyms.
They're kind of synonyms, yes. But in Arabic, we have different forms of the words, okay? They have kind of different meanings, a little different meanings, okay? For example, we have, we say, قَتَلَ means he killed. قَتَلَ means he killed. Killed, maybe it's an emphasis on that. So in Arabic, it's different. So now, يخادعون, it's from one form. يخدعون, it's another form, okay? But they are saying that seeking, like, to deceive. You can study this in Arabic literature. So, thank you so much. That was the Tajweed rules in this ayah, okay? And now we will listen again to this ayah. Inshallah, in the coming session, we will be working on the next ayat. I really recommend you stay with us. So listen to this ayah, and we will, after listening, we'll recite a salawat and end this session. Okay, mashallah. Now let's recite a salawat, inshallah. That's it for today. From us, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala muhammad wa alihi
muhammad
wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths, and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.